One, two, there we go. All right, we're good. Little technical difficulty. All right, God can overcome that. That's no problem for God. What do you see what he does in this chapter? So let's remember before we get into chapter 12 that this whole book is based on a discipleship relationship. Luke is writing this to one man, Theophilus, whose name means lover of God. And he wants to remind him and encourage him, listen, everything that Jesus said was going to happen is unfolding here in the history of the early church. Because remember, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it's not that everything's going to go great for the early church, like they're not going to have any obstacles, opposition, challenges. No, but they're going to be able to overcome them through Christ. In fact, in the book of Acts, you'll see this theme constantly repeated. Where there's progress of the gospel, there will be pushback by the spiritual enemy. Where there is proclamation of the gospel, there will be persecution of those who are proclaiming it. It's a constant throughout the book of Acts. The enemy's not just going to let the kingdom move forward without some kind of resistance. And you and I have to remember that too. That if we are being effective for Christ, both individually and as a church, there's going to be pushback from our spiritual enemy. Amen. But Christ can overcome that. And we can overcome that. And that's exactly what you see here. I want to first draw our attention to being amazed at the providence of God. The providence of God is God's ruling activity and authority in the ways of the world. It's a reminder that, as we say all the time, God is always on his throne. God never abdicates his throne. God is never off his throne. It's not like anything happens on earth in any of our lives or here on earth and somehow it slipped past God. Like, oh, God didn't see that coming, or God wasn't aware of it. No. God is always in absolute control, always on his throne, always purposeful and very intentional about the way he is working and the things that he's allowing and all of that. So I say that because when we come to chapter 12, verse 1, notice what happens then in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. About that time, King Herod laid hands on some from the church to harm them. By the way, notice that the church at this point is an identifiable group. It's a distinctive group. People are like, oh, yeah, you're part of the church, you see. That's the way it should be. People should know we are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And then it says, Herod had James, the brother of John, executed with a sword. By the way, keeping up with all the Herods in the Bible can be difficult. There's Herod the Great that was the one that was there at the birth of Christ that murdered all the children. Then there's his son, Herod, who is there at the crucifixion of Jesus later on. And then there's this guy, Herod Antipas, who's a relative of the Herods, but not a direct in direct line, and he's the one who is here during the early church period. But notice, he has James, the brother of John, meaning one of the members of Christ's inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Not just one of the 12, but one of the inner three, if you will. And then it says, when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter too. Typical politician, always looking for what's popular out there. What can get me more votes? What is gaining the approval and the applause of people? And that's exactly who Herod was. Oh, you all like that? Well, guess what? I'm going to get Peter arrested, the leader. Then we'll see what happens. And I believe that Herod had every intent to execute Peter as well. But the Bible tells us that this took place, verse 3, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Jewish law did not allow executions during Passover. So Herod was going to have to wait till that was over. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, handing him over to four squads of soldiers. That's 16 different soldiers because there's four soldiers in each squad. Little overkill, right? Herod planned to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but those in the church were earnestly praying to God for him. Before we move further, the reason I want to talk about being amazed at the providence of God is, and I realize I'm getting a little ahead of the story here in chapter 12. God, why did you allow James, one of Christ's inner circle, to be executed, and why are you going to save Peter? God, why do you do that? Why are some of your followers, you know, killed and die at a young age and others live to be very old? God is a God of mystery. And that's why God asks us and even commands us to trust him and to trust his providence, to trust his purposes, to know that on this side of glory we see in a mirror darkly. We only, as Paul says, see in part, but not the whole. And it will only be when we get to eternity will we see the unfolding of the eternal plan of God and how beautiful it is. Amen. Because Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 3, he makes everything beautiful in its time. In its time. On this side, we, God, what are you up to? And that's why we've got to be amazed at the providence of God and realize that the decisions and choices and movings of God and the things that he allows and all of this is way above, as we say in our day and age, our pay grade. Only the God of the universe has the wisdom and the omniscience to be able to handle all of these decisions that are made and who's in power and who's not and all of that. And remember something too. The Bible tells us that the day of our passing has already been recorded in the book even before we're born. So there's nothing we can do to add one day to our life, and there's nothing we can do to cut short one day of our life. We are indestructible until God's plan and purpose for us being here is done. Trust and be amazed in the providence of God. And I'm sure, again, as it would hurt and be painful and grievous to lose someone like James, and I'm sure his family and friends were grieving, James was certainly not in a bad place. James was taken into the presence of the Lord as soon as Herod executed him. Just as any of us, as followers of Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The only thing that the world and the people of the world can do to a Christian is kill our body, which releases our spirit into glory. So we don't know why James was executed. Why did God allow that? You know, again, in our minds, we're thinking, but James would have been such a great, you know, leader in the early church and all of that. Yeah, but again, we only see in part. We see through the mirror darkly. God makes everything beautiful in its time. And one day, just like a great artist, you know, I remember there were times in my life I would watch an artist painting. And there were times during the process I would look at them painting and I'm thinking, you just ruined that. And all of a sudden, then a few more swooshes and a few more brush strokes, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. That's beautiful. See, I did not have the capacity to see the brush strokes that were coming. Or the sculptor that takes this raw piece of marble or bronze or whatever and is able to make something beautiful out of it. But there's times where it doesn't look like it's going to be anything. And then all of a sudden, given more time, you see the creation that's brought out. That's why we should be amazed at the providence of God and realize that we see it playing out here. But again, what we're also going to see is the gates of hell do not prevail. Yes, James is executed, but the kingdom of God keeps marching on. The victorious Christ keeps marching through every inch of this earth. Nothing thwarts God. He is unstoppable. And though his people are challenged and opposed and have obstacles placed in front of us, through Christ we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we can overcome. Notice not just being amazed at the providence of God, but amazed at prayer. At prayer. Because notice what the church was doing while Peter was kept in prison, verse 5. The church, that identifiable group, had gathered together, and notice they weren't just praying, they were earnestly praying. And they were earnestly praying for a specific thing. They were earnestly praying to God for him. For who? For Peter. They had gathered together to pray for Peter specifically. Oh, the weapon that we, the church, always possess. We must remember that. We are never at a loss as disciples of Jesus Christ. There's never a moment of our life where we can say, I don't know what I could do. We can always pray. That's why in Ephesians 6, when Paul is listing the armor of God, and he gets to the very end, and there's only two offensive weapons in the whole armor. The rest are defensive weapons. The only two are the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and prayer. That's what he ends with in Ephesians 6. And he says, pray always in the Spirit. Pray. It's our weapon because we're in a spiritual warfare. And the church, when Peter went to prison, they didn't just throw up their hands and go, well, I guess there's nothing that can be done. No, they got together and say, let's meet at this house and let's start praying. The power of prayer. Even the ability, the access is amazing that we have to talk to the God, the creator of this universe, and that we can go in through the blood of Jesus Christ and we can enter into the very presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, and we can speak with him at any time about anything from anywhere. What a weapon prayer is. Notice also this reference in verse 12. Many people had gathered together and were praying in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. I hope in our lives as disciples and disciple makers, because again, that's what this is all about, that we will learn to be amazed at the providence of God. Are there things that happen in our life and in this world and all of that that we go, God, I just don't get it? Absolutely. But God says, my ways are not your ways. And I'm so much greater and higher than you are. You are just a finite human being, and all you can see is you're just little slice. I can see the whole thing from beginning to end and everything in between. I can see every consequence, every ramification, everything I see. I'm the only one that can manage all of this. Be amazed at my providence and trust in my providence. Be amazed at prayer, at this great privilege that God gives to each of us and to us as a church to be able to come to Him and pray about anything and everything. To pray an intercessory prayer, which simply means to bring someone and their needs to the foot of the throne of God. That's what they were doing here in the book of Acts. They were people who continually practiced prayer. We need to be more of a praying church. We just do. I don't think a church, and I don't think we as individual Christians should ever get to a place like, you know what, I do enough praying. In fact, I think when we get probably to the end or we get to glory, we'll say, boy, I wish I'd have prayed more. Be amazed at providence. Be amazed at prayer. Be amazed at the peace of God. Because notice verse 6, on that very night, God's timing is always perfect. He's never early, but He's never late. On that very night that Herod was going to bring Him out for trial, which I believe was going to end in Peter's execution, notice what it says next. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. All these soldiers, all these guards, all these chains. And Peter's literally got one soldier on one side and one soldier on the other side. And the Bible says he's just sacked out. Let me ask you a searching question, a convicting question. And I'm right there with myself. Would I be able to fall asleep in those conditions, under those circumstances? Or would I be like, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? You know, just having a heart that's just filled with anxiety and worry. And let's remember who this is, too. This is a guy that's usually pretty ramped up. A guy that's, you know, earlier he denied the Lord because he was so afraid. And look at the growth that's happened in this man. Look at what the Holy Spirit has done in his life. Because now here's a man who between two soldiers and chained is able to rest because of the peace of God that passes all understanding. When you and I experience that level of peace, isn't it amazing? Because we would even say to ourselves, I don't know how I can be at such peace. Well, it's supernatural. It's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of God, and it's amazing. But it enables us as mere human beings to be able to stay calm and stay composed in situations that most people would be freaking out in. I mean, for all practical purposes, Peter could already be there and go, well, guess I'm going to die. Guess I'm going to end up just like James. But either way, it didn't matter to Peter because whatever God wants, I'm good. So I'm just going to rest. I'm going to take a snooze. I'm not going to stay up at night and worry about it. I'm just going to rest between two soldiers. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life and maybe even what you're getting ready to deal with that you don't even know of yet, just like me. I don't know. But I hope when I get to that point where circumstances might not look so good. And it might look like things are closing in around me. And I might even wonder, God, is my time on this earth, is it done? That I would be able, like Peter, to rest in my Lord. And to allow the peace that passes all understanding to just surround my heart and mind, as Paul says in Philippians. What a peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives. No, no, no. Because my peace is otherworldly. My peace enables people like my Peter here to be able to fall asleep between two soldiers. I can't even fall asleep on a plane. I can't fall asleep on a train. I can't fall asleep. I could never fall asleep in a car when I was a kid traveling with my parents. I have a hard time sleeping in, you know, not just the most comfortable situation, right? My own home, my own bed type of thing. Can't imagine being chained to two soldiers on either side of me and going, yeah, I'm good. I'll just fall asleep. But that's the amazing peace of God. And then the amazing power of God. While guards in front of the door, verse 6, were keeping watch over the prison, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the prison cell. God's power is so amazing that his light can penetrate anywhere, anywhere, even into a prison. There is no place that the light of God cannot go into and penetrate. He struck Peter on the side, the angel, and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Notice the angel didn't take them off. They just fell off. Because the power of God is such that not only can his light penetrate anywhere, but his power can enable chains just to fall off. The power of God can set us free. The power of God can release us from bondage. The power of God parted a Red Sea so that his people could walk through on dry ground. The power of God was able to cause the sun to stand still. There is nothing that the Almighty, omnipotent God cannot do. What some chains? They're nothing to our God. The angel said to him, fasten your belt. I'd like to say fasten your seat belt. Put on your sandals. Peter did so, and then the angel said to him, put on your cloak and follow me. Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize what was happening. He wasn't quite awake yet, thinking he was maybe even seeing a vision. So after they passed through the first and second guards, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. And notice, the angel didn't open the gate. Peter didn't open the gate. The gate, by the power of God, opened for them by itself. Jesus said, I have the keys. I can open a door and no one can shut it, and I can close a door and no one can open it. But I can open doors that no one else can open. I can open gates that no one else can open. You need a door opened in your life? You need an iron gate opened? The power of God can do it. You got something in your life that's wrapped itself around you? Are you chained to something and you shouldn't be? God can have those chains fall off of you. His power can do so. That's how great and amazing his power is. And when Peter, verse 11, came to himself, he says, now I know for certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord had sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from everything the Jewish people were expecting to happen. I told you I wanted to talk about the amazing things we see in this chapter tonight. And to be amazed at his providence, to be amazed at prayer, to be amazed at the peace of God that passes all understanding, and to be amazed at the power of God. And I want you to see these three things real quickly when we talk about the power of God that are given here in this chapter. First of all, notice in verse 11, the power to deliver or rescue. Peter says, "Now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Lord sent his angel, and he has rescued me. He's delivered me. He saved me. He has set me free. He's released me." Do you know the power of God is still available today to do the very same thing? Amen. If you need saved, God's power can save you. You need rescued, God's power can rescue you. You need delivered, God's power can deliver you. You need set free, God's power can set you free. God's an expert at using his power to deliver. But God's power also can humble. The power to humble. Because notice, Peter goes on to say that these Jewish people, they had expectations. They had expectations that Peter was going to die just like James did. Didn't happen, did it? Because God has the last word. And God was going to humble these people and show them, you're not in control. Again, going back to providence, I'm in control. I'm on the throne. I determine what happens. My plan and my purposes will not be thwarted. And you want to talk about being humbled? Let's move on to Herod, the one who had James executed. Well, we pick it up in verse 20, where Herod was having this quarrel. He joined together with them. They got together with these people over this quarrel. And they were like buttering him up because they wanted to be on Herod's good side. So verse 21 tells us, on a day determined in advance, Herod put on his royal robes, you know, the grand poobah type guy, sat down on the judgment seat, the bema seat, and made a speech to them. And the crowd was shouting, "The voice of God and not of man." Bah. That was all just a bunch of empty flattery. And immediately, verse 23, an angel of the Lord struck Herod down. That word "struck" is a word that is used in the Bible to describe divine judgment. This was God's judgment upon this man because he did not give the glory to God. The Bible says pride goes before what? Destruction. Pride goes before destruction. God humbled Herod. Herod thought he was all high and mighty, and God brought him down in an instant. God's power can save and rescue and deliver, but God's power can also humble. God's power can also overcome. Because notice, in the midst of all of this pushing back against the church and the persecution against the church, and leaders in the church like James being executed, look at verse 24. But the word of God kept on increasing and multiplying. His truth kept marching on. Because Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail. It wouldn't have mattered if Peter was chained to 1,000 soldiers. It wouldn't have mattered if he had 100,000 chains on him. It wouldn't have mattered. God's power can overcome it all. And God is using the story of the early church to encourage the church today. That just like 2,000 years ago, if we're making progress with the gospel, and we are pushing forward spiritually, and we are proclaiming the gospel, there's going to be persecution and there's going to be pushback. But praise God, we must continue to march forward. No retreat. Because our God is greater. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And this chapter is just a great reminder to all of us that, yeah, there's going to be trials. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be challenges. But in the midst of it all, God calls his people to be amazed. Because notice, again, verse 16, and I'll close with this. Peter continued knocking. When they opened the door and saw him, they were greatly astonished, amazed, literally beside themselves. And he motioned to them with his hand to be quiet and then related how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And then he said, tell James, not obviously the one that was executed, but this is the Lord's brother, these things. And they left and went to another place. Be amazed at the providence of God. Be amazed at prayer. Be amazed at the peace of God that passes all understanding. Be amazed at the power of God. Power to deliver, power to humble, power to overcome. Before I close tonight in prayer, we need to help our ladies out Friday by clearing just this middle section of chairs. So after I pray, if I could have some guys especially just stack all of these chairs back on that back row, even if it goes six or seven high, they want to just have this middle section cleared here for their event on Friday. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time in your house tonight. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the word. Thank you, God, for the reminders tonight in our worship and in the word that you are our firm foundation. You are the only firm foundation, God, and that you are our ultimate defender, and that, Lord, we can rest in you at all times because you're always on the throne, and you enable us through the Holy Spirit to have a peace that passes all understanding and a power that can overcome. Lord, go with us to our homes tonight and bless those who are already in their homes watching this tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much for being here. We'll see you next week.